Good morning. Baptism is one of the most misunderstood and most controversial issues in the religious world today. Virtually every Christian group believes in and practices some form of baptism, but there is still widespread misunderstanding and disagreement on the subject. It always has been. For instance, the Jews of John's day didn't really understand his baptism. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again of water and of spirit. Nicodemus didn't understand. In Acts 19, we have a misunderstanding in the difference between the baptism of John the Baptist and the New Testament baptism in the name of Jesus. Not long after the close of the first century, we find clinical or sick baptism and infant baptism becoming popular. These people understood, and rightly so, that baptism was necessary for their salvation. They didn't want their loved ones dying without being baptized. So, when they became terminally ill, they made arrangements for baptism. The King James translators acknowledge the fact that they did not translate the Greek word baptizo to immerse because of its controversial nature, because of the ongoing controversy between washing, sprinkling, and immersion. Sometimes prominent preachers today steer away from the subject for this very same reason. But you see, friends, it is possible to settle controversial religious issues. You just have to let the Bible speak. Not your favorite preacher, not even this preacher speaking to you today. Because we must listen only to the inerrant Word of God to settle religious issues. We must stop trying to rewrite the Bible to suit our own personal preferences and convictions. What does the Bible say about baptism? Does it contain enough information to adequately answer our questions? Well, in 269 chapters of the New Testament, some form of the word baptizo or baptism appears more than 100 times. Noah and his family were saved by water. We usually think of the salvation of Noah as being from water, not by water. We usually think of the ark as being the agent of their salvation, but that's not what the Bible says. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. The King James and the New American Standard says, saved by water. The Bible says that the water of the flood was that which delivered Noah and his family from sin and death, giving them a new life in a new world. Naaman was cleansed by water. We find this narrative in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was advised to go to Israel to find a cure for his leprosy. Elisha the prophet told him to go wash, dip in the river Jordan 7 times. It is interesting to note that in the Septuagint that the word translated dip is baptizo. You see, God placed water between this man's leprosy and his cleansing. One more example, and this time from the New Testament. A blind man was healed by water. John chapter 9 records Jesus spitting on the ground, anointing a blind man's eye with a spittle, and then telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. The significant thing is that when he washed in the water, he was healed. Of course, Jesus could have healed him by just speaking the word, as he did blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, or by just touching the eyes as he did 2 blind men in Matthew chapter 9. But this time he chose water. Here Jesus placed water between blindness and sight, between his illness and his healing. Now I want to notice where God has placed water baptism in our salvation. Yes, God could have saved us some other way if he had chosen to do so, but he didn't. He chose water baptism to be part of our salvation. For instance, he placed baptism between being in Christ and being out of Christ. There are at least 34 New Testament references to being in Christ. Listen to these scriptures. Ephesians 1 verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in Christ we have redemption and forgiveness of sins through his blood. Romans 8 and verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 John 5 verse 11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, Paul says, salvation is in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be in Christ? I do, because this is where all spiritual blessings are to be found. There's redemption. There's forgiveness of all of our sins. There's no condemnation. We are new creatures. Eternal life is in Him. Our salvation is in Jesus. Who would not want to be in Jesus? Now listen to me closely. There are two verses which tell us how to get into Christ. First, Romans 6, verse 3. Listen as I read. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Friends, when does the Bible say we obtain the blessing made possible for us by the death of God's Son on the cross? In water baptism. As many as been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death. Baptism is the means God chose by which we have access to the death of Jesus. Baptism is the way God chose to appropriate the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. All the blessings which are given to humanity through the death of Jesus are brought to bear upon an individual when he is baptized. The second scripture is Galatians 3:26 through 27. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or have been clothed with Christ. How do we put on Christ? How do we get into Christ? When are we covered with Christ? In the act of New Testament baptism. Verse 26 tells us how we are saved, by faith. Verse 27 tells us when we are saved, in the act of New Testament baptism. The preposition into presupposes that one is outside. No one can come into a building unless he is outside of it, right? No one can be baptized into Christ or into the benefits of his death unless he is outside of Christ before that baptism. No one can be clothed with Christ unless first he was unclothed. It should be clear to us all that the point at which one enters Christ and the benefits of his death on the cross is at what time? New Testament baptism. You see, God has placed water baptism between being in Christ and out of Christ. I want to be in Christ, don't you? Of course you do. Secondly, God has placed baptism between sin's guilt and forgiveness. In Acts 2, in verse 38, Peter told his audience, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For what reason? For the remission of sins. Some today would try to tell us that baptism here is because of the forgiveness of sins instead of for the forgiveness. Well, which is it? Are we baptized for or because of the remission of sins? It's interesting to note that in Matthew 26:28, we have the same grammatical expression as here in Acts 2:38. Jesus in Matthew 26 is instituting the Lord's Supper. Listen closely to what he says. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Question: was the blood of Jesus shed because sins had already been forgiven? Or was his blood shed so that our sins could be remitted? Now you don't have to answer that, because the Bible answers it for us. The Hebrew writer says, "Without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7 tells us that our redemption is through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Friends, the blood of Jesus was not shed because sins had already been remitted. Past tense. That would mean our sins were forgiven before Jesus ever died, so His coming would have been useless. A second passage which teaches baptism stands between sin and forgiveness is Acts 22:16. Ananias tells Saul, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Paul had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. He believed, he had confessed Jesus, he had spent 3 days in remorseful repentance and prayer, but he still had his sins. "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." If his sins had been forgiven back on the road at his instance of faith, then there would have been no need for this command. Acts 22:16 emphatically demonstrates that God has placed baptism between guilt and forgiveness. Baptism also stands between being dead in sin and being alive in Christ. Listen carefully to what Paul says in Colossians 2:12 and 13. "We were buried with him in baptism and raised with him through our faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins." When we were made alive in Christ. When did he forgive us all of our sins? Paul says it was in the act of New Testament baptism. God places baptism between our being saved and being lost. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Baptism is placed before salvation in this passage. The Greek is even more emphatic. He who has believed and who has been baptized will be saved. Friends, you can diagram this sentence any way you like, in the English or in the Greek, and it always says the same thing. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The conjunction "ad" connects faith and baptism inseparably together as a requirement for our salvation. You see, if we can remove baptism from this command, the sentence would read, "He that believes shall be saved." But we must understand that if we have the right to remove baptism, then we have the right to remove faith. So then it would read, "He that is baptized shall be saved." Are we ready to agree with the fact that one can be saved without faith? Of course not. The Hebrew writer plainly says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Jesus plainly taught that faith and baptism stand between one being lost and one being saved. Then finally, God has placed baptism between remorse and rejoicing. Three New Testament narratives of conversion in the book of Acts mention the new converts as rejoicing after their baptism. In Acts 2:46, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, in breaking bread from house to house, they did eat with," what? "Gladness of heart." In Acts 8 and verse 39, "The Spirit called away Philip and the eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing." In Acts 16:34, "He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Note that the Philippian jailer was baptized in verse 33 and rejoiced in 34. I think there is good reason why baptism precedes rejoicing in biblical conversion. The unbaptized believer has nothing to rejoice about. He still is out of Christ. He still is unforgiven. He is still dead in sin. He is still lost. He is still out of the body of Christ, the kingdom, the family of God. He still has not totally accepted Jesus and his message. Let us close the lesson by reading 1 Peter 3:18 through 21 again. "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison and disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Indeed, we must be born again of water and the Spirit." Don't say no to God, friends. Become his child by faith, repentance, confession, and New Testament baptism. If there's any way that we can assist you in this, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.